Our United Healthcare Community and State Newsletter is your go-to source for the latest Medicaid news and United Healthcare programs serving Medicaid beneficiaries. Subscribe now by visiting our website at uhccs.com/newsletter. Stay in the know by gaining access to our latest blogs, educational videos, and upcoming events. At United Healthcare, our mission is to help people live healthier lives and make the health system work better for everyone in local communities across the U.S.
Hello, this is Rob Lott.
And I'm Vabren Watt.
And you're listening to Health Affairs This Week, a regular conversation between a rotating cast of Health Affairs editors. So, Vabe, I thought we might take a moment this week to talk a little bit about health equity. And I know Health Affairs Health Equity Project has a number of things in the works, and I thought it'd be a good chance to hear from you about some of that work.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of January 2021, Health Affairs, we did declare that we are trying to advance equity within scholarly publishing, especially within the space of scholarly publishing of health services and health policy research. And one of the things that we did do, which was actually announced last month in August, is that we did form Health Equity Advisory Committee, which consists of a lot of our experts who are people in like just who I would say just the who's who in health policy research, and as well as health equity. Some of those names I could drop, but you know, if you really want to find out who's a part of that committee, go to the Health Affairs Health Equity website, and you can get the whole gamut of like everyone who's on that committee.
It's a really impressive group of people, and I'm excited that they're joining us on this journey.
I'm happy to work with all these people on that end. Another thing that we did, I always say, this is the year of the Health Affairs Fellowship programs. We already have the podcast fellowships, but we also have a new fellowship on health equity. And so this is the purpose of this fellowship is to first is to value and increase the quality and quantity of equity-related research published in Health Affairs by members of racial and ethnic groups that have been historically underrepresented in scholarly publishing. A lot of people may not know, but if you look at the racial data, people of color are approximately 8 times less likely to publish than their white counterparts in scholarly publishing. So this is something that we're trying to address on our end as we, you know, advance equity within scholarly publishing and health services research. And so actually, it's not too late to apply for, you know, this fellowship. You know, you will get one-on-one mentorship from the health equity experts who have published and know the formula of publishing into Health Affairs. Also, one-on-one guidance with people from my editorial staff. And it will just really just increase your overview of health affairs, the inner working of health affairs, and how to publish in health affairs. Now, I will say this is for trainees, so you must be a student at the graduate level. That includes someone who's working on their master's, their PhD, MD, JD, etc., who is involved in health policy research. Or you may be a postdoctoral researcher, you know, who just left that student status, or you can be an early career researcher who is no more than 7 years outside of earning their degree. So we're really trying to, you know, speak to those researchers of color and who are young and just really work together to build the next future of health policy and health services researchers.
Wow, that seems like a really exciting opportunity, and probably exciting for you too, Vabe, to be spearheading this project.
It is. It's interesting. It's fun. It's new. We will get to interact with, you know, as we said in January when we released the blog on, like, you know, our, you know, strategy to advance health equity you know, we really want to hear from these new voices. And that's something, you know, that we're doing.
Nice. And what's the deadline on?
The deadline is actually Monday, September 13th at 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. If, you know, if we're practicing equity, we do have to also practice geographical equity. I always thought it was unfair for people on the West Coast for their things to be due at, like, you know, 8:59. That's unfair. They're just getting off work. So
awesome. All right. Well, so we're coming down to the end here, and folks should really take this opportunity and get their applications in as soon as possible. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot of, you know, things that are going on the health, as far as like health equity, as it, you know, relates into to health affairs. I think of this week, you know, we did have a series of like blogs that, you know, address health equity. We had one from the National Committee on Quality Assurance. I know, Rob, you'll talk about later, as well as something from David Kim. But we also had something which I want to talk about, which I thought was very interesting. It was from physician and U.S. House of Representatives Donna Christensen from New Jersey about medical algorithms are failing communities of color. And for, you know, those, you know, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, I've heard of the term medical, you know, algorithm, but sometimes it's sort of hard to explain exactly what it is. So, you know, just to give you like a little background on it, on medical algorithms, you know, they were first used in the 1970s pretty much to make a quick, precise, and I use quotation, air quotation marks.
For our listeners, yes. Babe has waved his two fingers in the air to imply air quotations. So just to clarify that.
So it's those air quotations of quick, precise decisions that help providers diagnose and treat patients faster and more efficiently. I mean, it's a part of just like healthcare in the patient's life, from automatic intake process for primary care to scoring systems that evaluate newborns' health conditions. I mean, it's everywhere. However, there are flaws. Medical algorithms are often built on biased rules that, you know, really are not advantageous for people of color.
So I think I get the idea of an algorithm sort of applying these rules and data to make impartial decisions, or theoretically impartial decisions. But can you share maybe an example of what that looks like in the medical context?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what it looks like in the medical context. Actually, something recently that sort of intersects medicine and sports. The NFL has actively employed a bias algorithm that uses race norming to determine which players are eligible for payouts, you know, in the $1 billion settlement for brain injury claims. So currently, the algorithms that they use are based on discriminatory assumptions that Black players start with a lower cognitive function, which actually ends up disqualifying them from receiving payouts. So that's one of the ways the threshold is set lower for African Americans, and so they, you know, will miss these type of payouts.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know. We also published a blog recently by Michelle Cohen-Marill that looked at a decision. There was basically a biased algorithm that was limiting Black pregnant people from being treated for anemia compared to their white counterparts. And ACOG, the College of Obstetricians and Gynecology, I think, took a look at it and said, wait, there's something wrong here. And they've since adjusted their guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was sort of like the same thing. The air quotes again, you know, the race norming with pretty much, it was data from the 1990s, which said that, you know, Black women have lower hemoglobin than, you know, white counterparts. So, you know, instead of treating them for anemia, that may not be something you need to do because the hemoglobin is already low. However, ACOG realized that, you know, your undertreating Black women who actually have anemia, you know, so things like that. So this paper by Representative Christensen, you know, said that, you know, that we really need to address these inequities, you know, within artificial intelligence. And so, like, she just outlined three, you know, ways to actually reduce, you know, racial biases through these systems. One was a domain forward approach, pretty much getting experts to speak about, to be a part of the development process. And that is including experts from diverse backgrounds. You know, just really, you know, develop recommendations on how to interpret or improve algorithms included in race norming. One of those processes includes just having like a training session for physicians on how to, you know, pinpoint race norming that may not be advantageous for patients of color. Then lastly, you know, they did hold the government responsible. They said federal government, as well as the regulators such as FDA and the Federal Trade Commission, should increase their regulatory efforts to include that these technologies, you know, do have the best possible quality data used to, you know, reduce risk and discriminatory outcomes. And they also looked at Congress and said, you know, they need to exercise their regulatory authority to ensure, you know, that these agents are, you know, compliant with making sure that these are reliable and unbiased tools and technologies.
Wow. Important stuff. A lot of work to do going forward, especially as this kind of technology becomes more prevalent.
So, you know, Rob, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, this was not the only blog in the cluster. There were two more.
That's right. On Thursday, we published three blogs about health equity issues and attempts to advance that work. And so in addition to the piece you describe, I want to mention just two others briefly. We published a piece by Rachel Harrington, who's a research scientist at the National Committee for Quality Assurance, and a number of co-authors from NCQA. Now, NCQA is the organization that basically evaluates the quality of health plans. And they're perhaps most well known for their HEDIS measures, that's healthcare effectiveness data and information set. And they wrote a piece that we published basically pointing out that they're taking a new step to advance health equity by stratifying race and ethnicity in their measurement approach. And this is going to be a process that's phased in over several years, beginning in the measurement year of 2022. And the goal is to provide transparency into existing disparities in care and really holding plans, health plans, accountable for what they're doing to close disparities. And so they're doing that. They're going to start with a focus on five key measures that are known for sort of having significant disparities. Colorectal cancer screening, hemoglobin A1C for patients with diabetes, efforts to control high blood pressure, prenatal and postpartum care, and child and adolescent well care visits. And they go on to identify some of the challenges that they expect to face in the next few years, including getting members to self-report the race and ethnicity. Babe, I know that's something that we're grappling with at Health Affairs. Mm-hmm. And then they're also looking at the ability of health plans to implement sort of advanced statistical and imputation methods for analyzing the data, certainly addressing potential member mistrust of these kinds of questions and data collection. It's a great post, and I recommend folks check it out. We'll put a link in the show notes. And then one last mention, a piece by David Kim at Tufts and co-authors, mostly from the University of Michigan, looking at value-based insurance design as a tool for addressing health equity and using the case example of obesity prevention and treatment. Pretty cool example there. Definitely worth checking out. And perhaps with that, we can wrap it up for the day. Vabe, Thanks for chatting.
It was great. I enjoyed it. Always.
Always. To our listeners, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review, recommend it to a friend, and definitely tune in next week. Thanks, everyone.